Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here. Hopefully you're still there. Maybe you're getting tired. Maybe you're falling asleep. Maybe you're just checking in and going to work and getting set up. Maybe you just got in the car. You got somewhere to drive real quick. Either way, two more hours to go, KM to AM, Heath McPherson on the Fan. In these next 2 hours, we're going to talk about the Yankees and Mets, of course, but we will get back to the NFL. Former Jets head coach Jeff Ulbrich apologized. We got to hear that and talk more about that. Shedeur Sanders, the machine is still working. There's some new updates around Shedeur Sanders. And we got to talk about the Jets and Giants draft. I just think that they added some talented players. I haven't talked about Malachi Moore yet. I think that this crop of talent, and we don't know, we're just guessing, but like the Jets and the Giants hit on multiple draft picks this year. And I think there are guys that we're going to see that they drafted that are going to play. They're not going to be bench guys. They're not going to be just special teams guys. They will be part of the team's success or failure. And I think both teams are going to have better years than last year's. I'm excited for football already. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call before I get into my Yankee stuff. Let's get this call from a Met fan on the Mets and the Mets thoughts before I lay out with where I'm at with the New York Yankees. Josh and Passaic on the Fan. Hello, Josh.
Yo, Keith. What's popping, my guy?
Another night. It's May now. It's the first of the month. Or, you know, we can't say it's only April anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming in May, and everyone always has the line, you know, with, you know, April showers, May flowers. So my own line with the Knicks was like win in five, out in five. I mean, they're defined as still fine. I think the Pistons would be too hard for them, but, you know, they're playing gritty. But my real basketball point is that the Warriors-Rockets series is one of the only entertaining things I've seen from the NBA the last few years. That guy that headbutted the Rockets players, he's got that mustache. That series literally looks like WWE.
I'm not paying attention to it at all. Somebody headbutt somebody in that series tonight?
Yeah, you know, they've been all feisty with each other. They've been all shovey, and then he just went straight at this guy and just, like, pushed his head at him when they had some other scuffle.
Who, Dylan Brooks? Let me see. I'm pulling this up right now.
Dylan Brooks is part of the play, but he had been shoved away. Otherwise, it probably would have been him in there.
Okay, I'm like, honestly, the first round of the playoffs, I'm usually light on unless it's a local team, and I'm watching baseball to be ready for these shows now. In the past, before I was on the radio, I used to watch all the playoffs, but like, I'm not watching the fourth game of the Warriors-Rockets series tonight because chances are I'm over-under, I get two calls, over-under two calls about it. But yeah, thanks for bringing that to the table. I'll look into that. I'll look that up. They're getting feisty, huh?
It's been an amazing series. And Keith, don't worry, I'm not watching that game either. It's, you know, the big videos that come out. You know, Draymond Green had the other game.
Social media.
He put up every single stat. He had a tech. He had a flagrant one. He had five fouls. Like, this guy just stayed in. He got another foot in someone's head. This is an amazing series. It's unfortunate there's only two more games left, but it's been pretty nuts as opposed to some other series, which, let's be honest, is just kind of straight boring if you don't follow one of the teams.
Yeah, but the NBA, there's just so many good players, and so the players create the storylines. Knicks fans are seeing Ausar Thompson, but I'm seeing his brother Amen Thompson balled out tonight. You got Dylan Brooks, you got Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, obviously their coach Ime Udoka. Like, the Rockets are a good story, and the Warriors are a story every year, right? The Warriors look at, the playoffs as their time, and they got Jimmy Buckets, playoff Jimmy. I don't know, I'll probably tap into that series now. I thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to win. I know Butler missed a game, he fell, and I don't know. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, because yeah, now I'm looking through a lot of different things with it. I haven't watched one of those games. Oh, I see now. Alperen Sengun got pushed.
It's great. It's been fire. Anyway, though, before I get to my Metsies, Jeff Over's kid is one expensive kid. Like, you'll see some parents get upset when their kids, get the $4 instead of the $3. Wow, $100,000 fine for what he did. That's pretty nuts, Keith. Like, can you imagine, like, what if you ever had that call that Jackson never did something like that to you? You're pretty nuts.
Nah, see, that's, you got to raise your kids. You got to prepare your kids. I'm already too rough and too tough on my 2-year-old son. My wife is yelling at me for how I'm yelling at my son. Now, he's a baby, Keith. His brain isn't fully developed. I'm like, I know, but his brain's developed enough to know I'm not playing with him, that I'm his dad, that he's going to respect me. What a mistake this kid made, and how much it cost his dad. I'm going to talk about it, but yeah, it shows you how entitled and how spoiled this kid is. His dad's been an NFL coach for years now. His dad also was an NFL player, so like, his whole life has been handed to him, I'm sure. So we'll get into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just sometimes, the way you read the kid, that's how it turns out. You see it late in life. But anyway, as I get to our matches, first got to give a shout-out to the sports chat, a mix of, bored people and people that actually know what they're talking about. So they want to tell me to give it out for them. But anyway, someone's got to explain to us why the Mets keep on bringing in Ryan Stink. This guy's got a 3-game run streak of messing up the games. I don't want to see him anymore. At least and there's so many random guys going in and out of this bullpen that we've seen, when they're up 15 runs. At least the guy they had today went 4 innings. But this Ryan Stink guy, he's lost standing. I can't stand him anymore. He just sets me up and just screwed it. He hasn't gone an inning the last 3 outings. And it's just unfortunate. My father went with a bunch of friends tonight, and they, till this dude comes in, they're having an amazing game. And this guy's got to ruin it like that for us. It's tough. We've been great at Citi Field. The team's been rocking, and this guy just has messed it up. 2 games versus the Nationals, now another game. Like, this team could have been 24-7 if not for this guy.
Greedy! It's not good enough. You Mets fans, all of a sudden now, you start winning, best record in baseball, you won every single game. You're going to lose. You're going to lose at home.
Same guy 3 games in a row, Keith, is gonna get it. Is gonna upset.
They got to get him right at some point. Look at how many games in a row they threw Devin Williams out there for the Yankees, knowing he wasn't good, knowing he needed a, you got to give him opportunities to get right. You got to give him opportunities to get it done.
Well, speaking of Devin Williams, with the Mets and Yankees playing in 2 weeks, I think Devin Williams and Pete Alonso each have one thing for each other. I think Alonso's got a nice Ferrari for Devin Williams with it, thank you for revitalizing, rejuvenating my bat.
Nope, I bet they never have spoken. I bet they have nothing to do with each other.
Devin Williams has a 98-mile-an-hour fastball coming for Alonzo's head for ruining his career.
Devin Williams can't throw 98. Devin Williams not touching 98. Thanks for the call, Josh. If Devin Williams was throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, we might be in a different spot. Good segue into Devin Williams and the Yankees. So, Devin Williams comes in tonight, softer landing spot. You won, Yankee fans. You chanted, "We want Weaver," after he faced 2 batters last Friday, and the Yankees demoted him from the closer role and literally said that we can only pitch him on the road. I don't know if they're going to pitch him coming up here when they come back home. It depends on the situation. But, Friday, he's not getting into that game. It's deja vu. They gave out the hockey jerseys last Friday. It's Jazz Chisholm basketball jersey night. Going to be way more fans there. But, we're going to need him. The Padres are coming here after that.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So I beg y'all, please don't make it harder on the guy. We eat our own. When he's out there, pick him up, clap, cheer, applaud. We need him to get right. It makes our bullpen, like, can we get to the point, and I don't know if he's going to get to the closer spot again. I hope he does. But Jonathan Loaisiga is coming back. Do you know how powerful the Yankees bullpen can be? You know how many games we can win by one run if we can go Loaisiga, Weaver, Devin Williams? Like, do you not see where we're heading here? Where, there's just this future where you can survive Will Warren and Carlos Carrasco or even a Marcus Stroman because the bullpen is going to be so sturdy. This month, the Wisega is coming back this month. So where I'm at with the Yankees, I'm cool. I'm glad that they didn't stay stuck on stupid. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. They played that Devin Williams game. And they won those stupid prizes enough times to say, okay, back to the lab. Got to fix him. And I won't say he's necessarily fixed. He's still all over the place. I was actually listening to the Baltimore broadcast, just the way that I watch my baseball sometimes. I've got some, I've got free, I don't pay for cable. I won't tell you everything I do. But anyway, I got the feed because it was on Prime tonight. And I can't watch on Prime because then you're just watching that. Then I don't even see any of the Mets game. Then I don't see any of the other baseball games. I don't see anything. So anyway, I'm listening to the guys from the Orioles talk about how high his strikeout rate was compared to now, and how high his walk rate is now. And when you watch Devin Williams pitch, he's all over the zone. He's in and out. So tonight was better. They put him in a spot where he was better, and he got some help. I believe a runner was thrown out, and so he got out of the inning. But, like, good, whatever. We're on the way. We're on the way. And for the entire bullpen, good, right? Tim Hill comes in and gives up one earned run. But other than that, Fernando Cruz, an inning and two-thirds, he's been great. Devin Williams, got to get that ERA down. But for the most part, like, Devin Williams comes in. Let me go back to the box score. I remember being like, good enough, bro. Good enough. Peraza made that play on that ball that got hit. And he didn't give up. And they put him in a one-run game. So that's still a high-leverage spot in the seventh inning. Right? Adley Rutschman grounds out. He walked Ryan O'Hearn. But then the tag play came. And that was the play that got him out of the inning. So, all good with Devin Williams, all good with the bullpen. The rotation is what it is. And as we go into this series, right, Carrasco pitched tonight. So, he's going to pitch again against the Padres. That Padres series is going to be interesting, man, because they're good. And they've got some hitters. And they're going to come to New York, and they're going to turn it on. And I don't know. Judge is going to be Judge. I expect Jazz to be back for his jersey. Jazz is going to be in the lineup tomorrow. Jazz will be back. But what I was saying before to you Yankee fans is, like, you see just taking Jazz out of the lineup, like, imagine taking, I don't even want to say any of these other guys that have been performing well. You guys are so quick to want to quit on Volpe. Volpe raised his average almost 40 points in this last two series. Oh, Volpe needs a day off. He had a day off on Thursday. The fake rain on Saturday gave him an extra day off. He's fine. And his glove, his defense is needed. You're not taking that glove off the field. Trent Grisham, great. Trent Grisham can lead off. Trent Grisham back from paternity leave, good to have him. Cody Bellinger even got somewhat better, right? Cody Bellinger is now over 200 batting average, hit a home run. We really need him to get going. Dominguez got to be a little bit better. But DJ is coming back. I'm welcoming DJ back with open arms. Fool me, can't fool me again. Oh, I'm willing to be fooled again by DJ LeMahieu. I am. Because he is an alternative just to get us to the trade deadline. The combination of Peraza does nothing for me. Peraza, Cabrera, Pablo Reyes, the three of them, do nothing for me. I'm not excited for any of their at-bats. I'm glad they can play the field. I mean, Cabrera barely at times. Other than that, though, Austin Wells, you know, he had a couple knocks in this series and in the last one. He's got to return to form. You know, remember he had that hot August? We need him to do his thing. Paul Goldschmidt, no problems with. Obviously, Judge, no problems with. They're coming home for a little while, right? They came home for the Toronto series. It was just three. Now we're in May. It's warmer weather. We've got Cinco de Mayo. They need to sweep Tampa. They should have swept Tampa in Tampa in a four-game set. They need to sweep Tampa. There's going to be big crowds this weekend. I think I was in the Bleacher Creature chat, and they were talking about the ballpark pass being sold out already. And I'm like, it's been a long time since I even checked on that. But I'm like, what does that tell you? You know, that tells you people are buying up the ballpark pass for May. And I don't know, let me even go right now and look at the tickets. I'm sure the tickets for Jazz Chisholm Jersey night, they're probably not that available. And they're probably a high price. And there's going to be people out there 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, so anyway, 888-808-1019. Looking forward to the homestand. The Yankees need to bounce back, sweep Tampa, at the least take the series. And then we got a real good test against the San Diego Padres. What I'm going to do is look at the Padres and see who pitched for them. Like, are we about to see Michael King? We're going to see our old pal Tyler Wade. Are we going to see Randy Vasquez? That is going to be an interesting series. 888-808-1019. And for the Mets today will have the rubber match against the Diamondbacks. An opportunity to take another series, get back into their winning ways. Even when they lost last night, it's a game that they were in till the very end. It's a game that you feel good about, but here comes Zach Gallen. He is not for play. He is an ace. And if he gets going, it could be a long day. Kodai Senga, you got to match him. And it's a day game. It's a 1:10 start. So got to be ready to compete. Got to be ready to play. I've been betting on Juan Soto. And I actually stopped. Like Dinger Tuesday, I bet $20 plus the $50 profit boost on Juan Soto to homer. I'm done. I'm done betting on Juan Soto. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about my money. He doesn't care about my bets. But, like, where is it? Where is that Citi Field homer, bro? Where is it? I don't think it's coming off Zach Gallen. But then after that, the Mets will head to St. Louis. The Mets will head to Arizona. And then when they come back home, you got to face the Cubs. And I don't know if you're paying attention to the Cubs, but the Cubs are pretty good. You guys ever heard of Pete Crow Armstrong? Kathy is in Bayville on the fan. What's up, Kathy?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Listen, I have an idea, and just tell me what your thoughts are. Stuff is always like a combination of things. It's not like one cut-and-dry thing. So I believe that Juan Soto has a combination of issues going on, and here they are. So the first one is he went to the Mets probably thinking he was going to be a star, more so than Judge's. And he's always been like a floating around kind of guy. Like, he's never stayed in one place a long time. Maybe in the beginning of 5 years or so when he first started his career. But he's like, it's sinking in. He's with these people for like 15 years. You know, like, I don't know. I think he's kind of like upset about that, maybe.
Nah. He might not be upset, but maybe it's not what it was all cracked up to be. Maybe it's not what he imagined it to be. And that's I can relate to that. I told a story about, I took a job that I thought was my dream job at age 30.
Yeah.
And I quit in 3 months. I was so disappointed. I'm like, I thought this was going to be everything. I thought I had arrived. I thought I made it in life. I remember, family members, even my mom asking me questions. And I couldn't even with a straight, I'm like, I hate it. I couldn't even fake it like I was having a good time.
No, it's true. Yeah. See? And you know what and I'm glad you got out of that job and you're here for sure. The last thing is, if you're in a position and you've been there for a while and somebody else comes in and gets hired, higher pay than you are, you feel like a little bit upset. So I'm wondering if he's getting a little snubbed from his teammates. And now he's not even performing, and that's even making it worse.
Yeah, like he's on the outside looking in his own clubhouse. Like he hasn't been at the center of any celebrations. He's not hitting enough home runs to come back into the dugout to get that love and that the high fives and the hey. Like,
yeah,
he's not even getting on base to do their wheels on the bus uppercut celebration.
And he's not doing the shuffle.
And he's not doing his own signature shuffle.
There's something up. It's got to be a few things. And I'm sure he misses the fans of the Yankees. How could you not?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't
think there was any way the guy would leave that. Like, hey, you got to see what it was like to play for the best fans in baseball. You got to get that roll call. That roll call gets you going. I'm sure he had chills the first couple of times he heard that Juan Soto. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to play.
Aw. All right. Well, at least he has money, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Money ain't everything, though. Thanks for the call, Kathy. 888-808-1019. Do you think that Juan Soto is on the inside looking in? He's looking at, I know opening day, Citi Field, that clip of him when Pete Alonso homered right after he failed, and he's just sitting there, they're celebrating in the dugout. It's opening day. It's a holiday. It's a great time. And Juan Soto's just staring into the field, upset with himself. We're going to find out. I think those guys all want him to be a part of the team, but like, he's so much bigger than the team. His contract is so huge. His name is so huge. Like, you want to be one of the guys, but it's just like, you're so much bigger than that now. It's hard to fit in. It's hard to just fall in line. It's hard to just shrink. And then, like I said, when you're not hitting doubles, you can't get to second base, look back at the dugout, do the, like, Jeff McNeil might be fumbling around trying to hit the wheels on the bus uppercut. If you're watching my live, I got it down. Hey, yeah. I can do it. I can do the reverse. I just hit the mic. I just hit the reverse. Ah. At first they were doing the whole elephant trunk. But like those little things, and then when you think about the Yankees too, you think he's not looking across at the Yankees, even though the Yankees, like Yankee fans, we're looking at the Yankees, they might as well be a 500 team right now. We're not pleased, especially coming off losing to the Orioles like that. But you think there's a part of Juan Soto that's thinking, well, damn, they did offer me 760, and like Judge is going crazy right now. And that kid, Ben Rice, he took my jersey, put it on, he looking better than me right now in it. Trent. Oh, my homie Trent from the Padres, who the Padres threw into the deal so they could just get his money off the books. Oh, Trent is balling. Oh, them Yankee fans are turned up. What are they doing? The Yankee Stadium's got the number one attendance in the American League, 46,000. They averaging 43,000 a night. Well, I'm over here for the next 15 years. I got to get comfortable. I got to get cozy. 888-808-1019. I mentioned Ben Rice. And this question, and I'm going to keep giving you guys the same answers about these things work themselves out. Shout out to Levi in my chat. Levi Sandhouse says, do you think Rice might catch when Stanton is back? People keep asking if he's going to catch. People keep asking if he's going to play third base. People keep asking, what are they going to do? It is John Carlos Stanton Jedi bobblehead day on May the 4th. I know. I think I put something out there. I'm like, I hope Stanton can be back for his bobblehead day. No, we don't know when Stanton is coming back. And there's no rush. I'm not worried about that. The last few nights I've been saying, we were screaming before this season, we need a bat, we need a bat, we need a bat. Did not know Ben Rice's bat was going to be this. Didn't know Trent Grisham's bat was going to be this. I guess the Yankees did. These things work themselves out, and I pray for health. I hope they don't work themselves out where, you know, like, oh, what happens when Clark Schmidt comes back? Who comes out? Are they going to have to send Will Warren down? Are they going to have to? Well, Marcus Stroman's knee swelled up on him, so that was easy. But, like, I'm not worried about Stanton until October. 888-808-1019. They're going to play. And how about the Yankees have a bench? How about, like, and he's young. He's not like a rookie, but I think he's 25, 26. And he said it. We're a better team with Giancarlo Stanton. But also, Stan takes a while to, like, these things, they're so far down the road. It is May 1st. We honestly don't need to worry about Stan probably until July 1st. Ben Rice, continue. Like, I'm more worried about, okay, what is DJ LeMahieu going to be? Is he going to be a waste of time again? Or, like, can he come back and be better at the plate than Pablo Reyes, Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera? I think he could. This is a guy that a few years back was the machine getting MVP votes, right-handed bat. We need a right-handed bat in the lineup. Well, here he comes. He's making $15 million a year. They're going to run him out there. And what they do with the starting rotation, I don't know. Judge is having an MVP season. When you go to MLB and you look at the stats, and I think the Yankees have put it out, it's actually ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's for one guy to be this dominant. But yeah, they're going to tell you, he's got to do it in October, though. Yeah, we know. We're trying to get to another October. 888-808-1019. Judge is on top of the leaderboards, and he's not stopping. The Yankees put out a tweet today. Your MLB leader in batting average, on base percentage, slugging, OPS, hits, times on base, total bases, and war. Judge has a 2.9 war starting the season. Like, you want to talk about Judge and Juan Soto? The Yankees offered Juan Soto almost double Judge's contract. The Yankees offered Juan Soto $47.5 million a year. Judge is making $40 million a year. If Juan Soto would have taken that, and imagine Juan Soto's on his team struggling and Judge is doing this, Judge is coming in like a steal. We got Judge for a bargain these next few years. And I love all these weirdos online that love to tell me Judge is aging out. Judge won't be like this in another 2-3 years. If Judge is this good, and he just turned 33 over the weekend, tourist season is upon us. If Judge is this good at 33, he's getting better. Like, if he's still climbing, when does he hit his peak and then start going the other way down? 34? 35? We still got time. I pray this is the year. I pray this is the year that they get to the postseason and they pitch to Judge. And Judge just goes crazy. They keep pitching to him. Even now, this guy in the Povich in the beginning, I'm like, silly rabbit, you throw that in there. You throw that in there, like, that's not going to get rocked. Like, Judge is not dialed in to start the game. Of course he is. 888-808-1019. As we're coming up on the 12:30 break, I'm going to tease some things coming up. We're definitely going to talk about the Knicks as, man, would you look at that. Game 6. Oh, boy. This shouldn't be so stressful. And I'm not even a Knicks fan. I'm stressed for some of my friends and family members, some of y'all listening. What are the chances the Pistons lose every game on their home floor? It's slim. It's pretty slim. And speaking of the home floor, I didn't catch this last night when I was on. I saw it afterwards. That video of the Madison Square Garden floor when the Knicks decided to go City Edition last night, two nights ago now. That video, I don't know if it's the video quality. I don't know if it's the light. But it looks like the floor gives a bit. Like, and that is how, I didn't realize. I thought it was OG and in real time, I thought it was OG and Brunson colliding. And I didn't see this on air. I wish somebody sent it to me. Like, Brunson tweaks his ankle on that floor, and that's not their regular floor. That's the City Edition floor they had on the City Edition jerseys. You mean to tell me, like, attention to detail, man, anything can get you. Like, the home floor, that's friendly fire, friendly backfire. Like, that's what caused the injury, and then he's out of the game? Like, a panel, a loose panel in the hardwood? Brunson's got to be on the floor in the fourth quarter, the entire fourth quarter for the most part. He can't, you know, it seems like every game he either tweaks the ankle or he's got to go back in or he's got to come out. And you guys listened to the fan today. Even you, if you heard me last night, you got to go down swinging. And they didn't go down swinging. They lost without their clutch player of the year on the floor. That can't happen. But now the momentum shifts into the favor of the Detroit Pistons completely. And I think they might even be favored in FanDuel. Like, they can't lose every game on their floor. Their fans are going to be fired up again because it even got back here. And I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one. Yeah, Detroit is favored by 1.5. So, all right, coming up in the next 90 minutes, I already see a Knicks call. Shout out to Patrick in Brooklyn. We will talk Knicks. We will also talk about Jeff Ulbrich, Jax Ulbrich, the punishment for the Shedeur Sanders prank call, and some more news with Shedeur Sanders. I will also talk Jets, the news around Jordan Travis, and the Jets draft. They didn't draft a quarterback, but they drafted enough players, and even the Giants, they did draft a quarterback, and what their team is going to look like. And that'll probably take us home till 2 a.m. So Keith McPherson on the Fan, and if you want to talk any of those things, we don't have to go in that order necessarily, but we're going to break right here. When we come back, I'll talk more about the Knicks. I'll cue up the Jeff Ulbrich apology. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about the Jets. We'll talk about Jordan Travis. We'll talk about the Giants as well, and then I'll pass the mic to C-Mac at 2 a.m. KM to AM returns right after this.
Lin likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Always got to wait for that beat to skip. LL. KM. WFAN. Taking calls, talking sports. That's what we do here. And people don't get tired of it. All day, every day. I turn the radio on. I'm like, oh, they're talking, you know, they're talking about Tom Thibodeau again. You guys think that if the Knicks lose in Detroit tonight, and then all bets are off in the Garden. They've already lost two games in there, and you think they're firing the coach? I don't. I think there's going to be a lot of loud noise to fire him. I also don't think they're losing the series. Again, I'll say what I said to start. I said Knicks in six. I think that they feel the desperation. I think they also feel the disappointment of losing in the Garden like they did. I think they actually find that urgency that I was, you know, looking for yesterday, 2 days ago now. I think the Knicks actually go into Detroit and they play better as the villain. They play better as the visiting team with people booing them and these Detroit fans trash talking them and F you Brunson. And that, like, I think that they're better suited to go to Little Caesars Arena and end it. It's not going to be easy. You're going to need heroics. That's why I said Brunson's got to stay on the floor. They need to play this damn game like there is no tomorrow. They need to play this game like, yo, there is no coming out of the game. There is no I'm hurt. There is, like, the stars have to play. Carl Anthony Towns has to ball again. Jalen Brunson has to ball. OG, do it. Mikal Bridges, I'm not expecting anything out of you, bro. Play defense. Hit the open shots. Can you hit the open shots when they need them? Not just garbage time or when it's too little, too late. But this is huge, man. You cannot get to a game seven. Like I said, all bets are off. you get to a game seven in the Garden, like, not for nothing, yo. And I don't really do this because I know it doesn't matter. Like, I'm a Nets fan. I don't talk about the Nets. They're irrelevant. There's nothing to talk about, even in the light of all the picks that they got from Mikal Bridges. But that feeling of being in Barclays Center in the second round against the Bucks, game seven, I'll never forget that sick feeling. I'll never forget how that felt. 888-808-1019. I'll never forget how that stadium lit up. I've never seen more people in there. I've never been in a better atmosphere in Barclays Center than game seven, KD foot on the line. I actually had a video go viral on my Twitter account because I'm the only one that wasn't celebrating. I knew. I'd watched enough games in there from that seat, from that vantage point. They hit the three button and, you know, everyone's celebrating, and they even had the three going off on, like, the tickers and the screen. I was with my wife. And my wife is not celebrating either because she sees I'm not, like, you even can see my eyes. Like, I look up at the scoreboard, I look down, and I'm just like, I don't feel, I got a sick feeling in my stomach. We're going to lose this game. We're going to lose this game. And we did. And I ran out of there. I couldn't have got out of there faster. And it's been downhill ever since. So the Knicks better not get to a game seven. And I know even if they get to a game seven and they win it, people are going to party in the streets. But then, you know, the Celtics are laid up right now. Plotting, waiting, resting. Got to end it tonight. Knicks in six, like I originally said. Patrick is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Pat?
All right, good evening. Oh, good morning, I'm sorry.
Same difference to me. You don't got to apologize.
All right. I'm not the biggest Thibodeau fan. Even when he was hired, I was like, this man has never won a championship with no team. I don't hate him, but the last game, I was just like, scratch my head. He didn't challenge any play in the first half. He saved his tail. Was there any challenges the Knicks did in the whole game? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think so. OG Anunoby proved himself when Brunson was hurt that he could score. Why can't he get some touches on the offensive end?
Has to, make
it,
yeah.
And have Bridges.
No, I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. OG, do it. Like, not Mikal Bridges. Like, we saw, like you said, OG had a run where he was scoring 20, 25, almost 30 points a night.
That's what I'm saying. I don't hate Thibodeau, but there's certain things. I'm just like, let OG get some touches. I like him playing Mitchell Robinson, but at the same time, when you have Robinson and Towns on the court at the same time, those are like short spurts.
Yeah, then you got Campaign and Deuce McBride out there. You know what it is with Tibbs, too, when you talk about his challenge? Like, he does play it safe. He's too cautious. He's holding that challenge in his back pocket till late in the game, right? Like, even the timeout. He held that timeout. And it's like, no, you should have hit that timeout at 2 minutes. Because if you would have been able to get them back into the game, we don't know how the possessions go. We don't know how, like, Brunson might not miss, and Josh Hart might have a steal rebound. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's too late now.
Yeah, it's too late now. That's why I hope it's a little better. You can learn. I mean, I'm saying not learn from his mistakes, but this team could score better. Mikal Bridges, I don't know. I don't know where his game is at. He don't feel comfortable, I think. Lastly, I'm going to say, I'm a Mets fan. I hear you Yankee fans always chirping. A lot of people was getting at me when there was a free agent. And I told them, you don't know. We got a new owner. Well, he ain't new now, but he got more money than everybody else. Why can't Soto come to the Mets? So when he came over here, I'm just telling you Yankee fans, okay, every dog has his day. And I would just, you know, cream rises to the top. Yeah, he's struggling right now, but just like Lindor, when he first came to the Mets, he struggled in the beginning too. And look at him now. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. Yeah, we'll go backwards with Soto. Just give it time. But we can't give it time. These are daily, nightly shows. They play every day. We react every day. And every day that Juan Soto isn't the star of the game, the big shot of the night, it's what the hell is wrong with Juan Soto? Every day that it goes on, we add a new layer. We investigate more. We come up with new theories. But I like what you said about, you know, oh, look at this. I'm watching a Laker game. They got Haya, Kyrie Irving courtside in L.A. It's 93-91 Timberwolves over the Lakers with 3 minutes left. Somebody in my chat said this might be LeBron's last game. No, it's not. I think you're bugging out if you think. First off, Luka is a Laker. You think he's only going to play a couple months with Luka? No, LeBron's not going out like that. And I don't know. Maybe they win this game. But I like what you said about, because like a lot of us Yankee fans, and us included, have looked down on the Mets and looked down on the Mets brand, looked down on the Mets color scheme, looked down on the Mets history, looked down on the Mets decisions, and been like, why would Juan Soto want to go over there? And like you said, we got the richest owner in the sport. It was a perfect pairing. We didn't want to believe it. We wanted to believe all of our other things and money was something that Juan Soto couldn't turn down, and he was already with us feeling it. How are you going to walk away when you got to experience it? Now, he walked away, but a lot of Yankee fans are feeling like there's a silver lining in all this. Everything happens for a reason. Maybe I'm only speaking for myself and some of the people I speak with. Like, yo, he did us a solid. I think he'd be performing better if he was on this Yankee team, but I don't know if this Yankee team would be. And this Yankee team, to me, is they're mid right now. The Judge is good. But, like, if you think about all of the additions and things that the Yankees needed, like, Max Fried wouldn't be on this team. Goldschmidt arguably wouldn't be on this team. Maybe, you know, Devin Williams, maybe they'd be better without Devin Williams. Fernando Cruz. Cody Bellinger. The Yankees needed to lose Juan Soto. Maybe if Juan Soto is here, Judge has another slow April. Right? But with Cole going down, the number one thing the Yankees needed to do in this offseason before they knew Cole was going down was to get Max Fried. So it worked out for both parties. It worked out for both parties. 888-808-1019. It hasn't worked out yet for the Met fan that wants Juan Soto to be amazing. But isn't it amazing? You don't need him to be amazing to be an amazing team, to be the best team in baseball, to win games. It'll come around. And yeah, going back to the Knicks, like, Tibbs got to be, he got to coach his ass off. Have a sense of urgency. But you know what? I don't think he needs to have a sense of urgency. Like, I played the clip last night as soon as we got it, and him talking about coach's decision, coach's decision. Okay, explain your decision, coach. How do you freeze in the moment? It's an elimination game. How do you let all those tick, 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 tick? Did you just think that the ball was going to, I don't know. I'm calling timeout. I got to get my captain back in. I got to get my point guard back in. I got to get my clutch player in that when the offense is running through his hands, like, we have the advantage. And so they'll learn from it. It's a series. I've been saying this the entire series. When you're playing against the same team, it's so redundant. And you get, the familiarity, it gets annoying. But not every game is the same. And yeah, speaking of not every game is the same, Minnesota goes up 100-94 over the Lakers. They're about to close them out. They're about to close them out in the Crypto.com arena. Should have never changed the name. Staples Center, the house that Kobe built. But yeah, here we go. The Knicks have to, and it has to start early. Here's the three things I'm looking for. The sense of urgency, coaching your ass off and playing tough and, like, coming out of the gate, too. And, like, establish a lead. Do not let that building build. Do not let their confidence, do not let them get the feeling that, yep, we're forcing a game seven. And then in that third quarter, like, I want to see them come out of halftime. I think Mikal Bridges suggested how they do their layup lines or something, changing some. That third quarter, they better win that third quarter. Can't lose every third quarter in the series. Danny is in Nyack on the fan. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Keith. I'm a big Mets fan, Knicks fan. I'm loving what's going on. But obviously with the Knicks, like, there's an issue when they get to the playoffs, the same way the Mets were when they were under Buck Showalter. So my comparison is, I feel like Tibbs is kind of like Buck Showalter, if you see what I'm saying. Like, they can get a bad team. They can kind of rally them over the years and get them to the playoffs, but they can't get them over the hump to the finals. And I think that's just what we're seeing with the Knicks. And I think ultimately it's not going to be Tibbs that gets us there. It's going to be somebody else, but he's done his thing up until this point, and that's about it.
I think they're going to give him another run because I think that, and we don't hear from Leon Rose at all, but Leon Rose made a couple moves this summer to change this team. And Knicks fans loved the team that they had. The first move, they loved the idea of adding Mikal Bridges. But the second move that subtracted Dante DiVincenzo and added Karl-Anthony Towns, it's like, I don't know now. As we're looking at the Timberwolves right now, they're about to advance.
Like that, like DiVincenzo, that like you get rid of Randall, but DiVincenzo, like he's like Tommy says, he's a dog. Like that's the one that's the piece that we're missing right now. And Tibbs, I like his style, but he's not gonna take us to the promised land.
That phrase that you're using about him, that's what everybody's saying. But like I really think that like Brunson has stuck his neck out for him and talked a lot about. You know,
definitely.
They're not going to kick him to the curb. They're going to change the team. They're going to change his personnel again. They've already tweaked this team. Yeah, they've changed this team every single year. They're going to do it again. They're going to tweak the team again. They're going to change it. Maybe they trade Mikal Bridges away.
Like Lindor stuck his neck out for Buck, you know, and I like Buck Showalter, but I feel like he was not the one that was going to
take us to the promised land. That was different.
Yeah.
Like, because when Stearns came in, Stearns is above. Like Stearns is, I mean, and look what you got in Mendoza. Stearns only is going to hire. Or he's not coming in and inheriting a GM. If he's coming in as the president of baseball operations, I need to hand pick a guy that I can work with every single day. I'm not taking the guy that Billy Epler and Steve Cohen appointed. And like Buck was old, and his theories and things would probably clash with how they're doing things now. They made a great decision there, even though Lindor, you know, gave him a stamp of approval.
Definitely, definitely. I definitely hear what you're saying, and I just they're not going to get rid of Leon Rose, but I feel like they need a Mendoza of basketball to replace Tibbs to get us to, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe a younger, first-time head coach that's more innovative and got some different theories. I know, you know, Tom Thibodeau's been around the block. Thanks for the call, Danny. I'm watching this game. I'm like, this is raps. And as Dante DiVincenzo has the ball, you know, what you miss in Dante DiVincenzo, and I should go find the clip. But I could use, you might've heard it if you're following NBA, but verbatim, Ant-Man was in the post game after the last win and DiVincenzo was sitting with Anthony Edwards and Anthony Edwards was like rubbing his shoulder. He's like, my guy right here. And he basically said, he's like, Dante DiVincenzo tells him what the other team is doing defensively, what defense they're running, how they're trying to attack him, how they're trying to stop him. Because sometimes Ant-Man is just out there hooping. So anybody thinking that DiVincenzo could be traded back, Anthony Edwards doesn't want that. So it's not that you're missing a dog. You're definitely missing a dog because DiVincenzo, he's getting at Embiid. He's getting at Isaiah Stewart, like Delaware Jordan. And like if you know about Dante DiVincenzo, how he came up, like he's like, yes, he's a white boy. But, like, he's not your average white boy at all. So, like, he's out there and he's, like, he's different. He's also a high IQ player. And he'd be coming off the bench with this Knicks team and he'd be shooting. Like, you missed that. You missed that. You missed that. You missed that attitude. You missed that IQ. And you missed his skill set. But, like, it's over. It's over for that. It's over for that. They chose that. You had to give to get. It's just kind of like the chess game, right? One move leads to another move, and now you can't go back. You can't double back. You couldn't pay Isaiah Hartenstein. Because of how you acquired him, you couldn't pay him more than Oklahoma City. So you need a big man. And that's final, 103-96, Luka and LeBron. I know somewhere Nico Harrison is like, thank God. I know somewhere he's like, thank God they got bounced in the first round. Kevin is in the Bronx next up on the Fan. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate it.
All right, look, I wanted to see your thoughts on what about, because the Knicks have a dog that's on the bench that, you know, they recently signed him to 2 10-day contracts, and then they signed him to a 2-year contract with P.J. Tucker. And then, you know, he guarded Kevin Durant when he played with, you know, Milwaukee at Barclays Center. He's like that dog that can guard a good man.
Granted, it was some years ago, We saw P.J. Tucker against Detroit in the end of the regular season. He looked like he was trying to get his win. But even then, if you remember, like, you know, he was getting in some people's faces. He kind of had Brunson's back, and there was it got contentious.
Yeah.
They're not going to put him in. Tibbs is not going to use him. He's not going to play. And he's good for a corner three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He shoots the three just as good as Hart.
Yeah, but they won't. I mean, you got three guys that are going to get off the bench.
Yeah.
Campaign, Deuce McBride, Mitchell Robinson, and Tibbs is going to run with his starters. Even though PJ is there as like an enforcer that they signed late, there's no role for him. They don't have a plan for him to enter the game. But yeah, no, he played a hell of a role for that Bucks team.
Back
in what, 2021?
Yeah, you know, he was getting into it with Durant's mom. She's like, "You're guarding my son like a football player."
Yeah, I was in there. That was his specific job. Some of those games he didn't have any points, but he was making it tough on KD. And those guys they're Texas Longhorns. They got a relationship that goes back years. But yeah, the PJ Tucker's not even that same player anymore. And I know they acquired him, but he's not going to enter the game.
All right, thanks for taking my call, man.
Of course, appreciate the call and the thought, right? Because you're looking for answers, you're looking for options. I hear people calling WFAN suggesting Precious Achiuwa get in the game. He's not. Not now. It's game six. Like, you try that out in games one, two, maybe three. Now game six is, man, we know who is who and what is what. And it's kind of crazy to think, as I mentioned Isaiah Stewart, the Knicks are facing a Pistons team without Isaiah Stewart, without Jaden Ivey. And they're struggling. This should have been over. This should have been over. This should have been over. So, 888-808-1019. Coming up on my last hour, we can continue with the Knicks conversation if you want to get a word in. I do want to speak on Jeff Olbrich. I do want to play his apology, former Jets head coach Jeff Olbrich. And then that will lead us into to Shedeur Sanders' conversation and the new developments with Shedeur Sanders now, a week after the NFL draft. And we'll talk Jets a little bit, too, a couple things that I saw online. From the Jets. So NFL talk coming up in this last hour, but continuing to take your calls on the Knicks as we get ready for game six in Little Caesars Arena. And of course, Mets and Yankees as we're in the season. And now it's May. You can't say it's April anymore. It's getting late early. So your calls and comments and thoughts on the Mets, on the Yankees, the Knicks, as well as Jets and NFL stuff coming up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Stay with us. We will be right back.